ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट 16 ऑफ चैप्टर 17 कैंटो 1। राज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्थानुपालनम् शाशतो अन्यान् यथा शास्त्रम् अनापद्यि उत्पथान् इह। राज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्थानुपालनम् शासतो अन्यान् यथा शास्त्रम् अनापद्य उत्पथान् इह। राज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्थानुपालनम् शासतो अन्यान् यथा शास्त्रम् अनापत्ति उत्पतान इह। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding citizens and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. In the scriptures there is mention of apad dharma, or occupational duty at times of extraordinary happenings. It is said that sometimes the great sage Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of dogs in some extraordinary dangerous position. In cases of emergency, one may be allowed to live on the flesh of animals of all description, but that does not mean that there should be regular slaughterhouses to feed the animal eaters, and that is the system should be encouraged by the state. No one should try to live on flesh in ordinary times simply for the sake of the palate. If anyone does so, the king or the executive head should punish him for gross enjoyment. There are regular scriptural injunctions for different persons engaged in different occupational duties, and one who follows them is called swadharmastha, or faithful in one's prescribed duties. In the Bhagavad Gita 18.48, It is advised that one should not give up his occupational prescribed duties, even if they are not always flawless. Such swadharma might be violated in cases of emergency. If one is forced by circumstances, but they cannot be violated in ordinary times, the state executive head is to see that such swadharma is not changed, by the follower, whatever it may be, and he should give all protection to the follower of Swadharma. The violator is subject to punishment in terms of the Shastra, and the duty of the king is to see that everyone strictly follows his occupational duty as prescribed in the scripture. Om Tatsat. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminath Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshadharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Rajnyo hi paramodharmah swadharmastanupalanam shashato anyan yata shastram anapaddi utpatan iha. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. Two points are mentioned here. One is that it is a supreme duty of the ruling king. What are they two? To give protection to those who follow dharma. Then to chastise those who do not follow, except in case of emergency. So, protecting those who follow dharma and chastising those. Two things. Now, in the modern world, also they have punishment and reward. What is the meaning of punishment? Why is punishment given? If you don't follow the laws, then there should be punishment given. First of all, laws made by God, for that if you don't follow, there should be punishment. That's what is the meaning of law. Law means dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Laws are made by God. There are no man-made laws. Prabhupada explains that. All laws are made by God. And those laws, if you break, then you should be punished. Civilized human being means, who is of the highest species, he should never break God's law. Civilization. Civilized human being, he follows God's laws. Uncivilized people, demoniac people, they break God's laws and defy the authority of God. Defy the authority of God. So here Parikshit Maharaj is saying, it is the duty of the king when somebody breaks the law to chastise him, punish him, make him all right, make him follow the law. So the meaning of punishment is to change your behavior, change your attitude, make you understand that God is the Supreme Lord and His law should be followed. This is why you are punished. This is why you are punished. At the same time, those who are law-abiding persons, they should be protected from those who don't follow law. In other words, those who are following the law will always be attacked and will always be harassed by those who do not want to follow the authority. This is a normal thing you will see. Some people want to follow the authority, want to follow the law, want to follow God. There are others who don't want to. And when there are people who are following, they will attack them and say, don't follow. Why are you following? As you can see, even for small things in this world. In Kulab, Zandabad, If you go to Kerala, you'll constantly see people doing it. So, first we have to understand what it is. Now, because there are no God's laws in the modern world, followed by most of the leaders, then they do all sorts of adjustments. Do all sorts of adjustments. It's a demoniac civilization. So there are people who are studying how to change a person's behavior, how to make him conditioned so that he will follow me, so that he will become obedient to authority. Actually, that is not really obedience. Because in a man-made law, you are trying to condition a person. One type of conditioning is over, you want to put another type of conditioning on him. There is a famous scientist called B.F. Skinner. I normally quote that in a Gita Life session show. He's done a lot of work. And because of him only, all these working people and all of them are put into factories and given particular type of assignments, rewards, piecework, this, that, all this research he did. In other words, he researched changing the behavior of a person means changing, according to him, changing the behavior. But that behavior change is actually useless because it's another type of conditioning. He said that don't punish. Because what happens when you punish? Mostly the person whom you punish, they will see how to get to do the same thing without being found out. So that they will do the same thing and so that you will not know that he is doing it. They'll find a way to do it. His behavior and intention will not change. Just that externally you will see that he is not caught anymore. He's not caught anymore. And how to, they'll behave in such a way as to see that punishment itself should be avoided, but their behavior will not change. How to avoid getting punished, but I will not stop doing what I'm doing. If you start punishing anybody, you'll see how to avoid getting punished, but my behavior will not change. Or the person who is punishing will be hated by that person. If a person is representing the government, then the person who is getting punished will hate the government, hate that person. This is what happens in punishment. Why? Because they are not trying to give that person through punishment a higher experience. Raso varjam raso pyasya param drishva nivartate. That is not going to happen. They are not going to be exposed to Krishna consciousness. They are trying to punish the person to make him behave in another way, which according to their law is the way you should behave. Which is not anyway liberating, which is not anyway different. It is just a different type of conditioning. So people understand this. They say, why should I follow you? You are no different from this. So really speaking, what type of punishment, what punishment really means in today's society? So people started asking these deep moral ethical questions. Why there should be something right and wrong at all? Because it is so relative. What is right, what is wrong? What is wrong for you is right for me. What is right for me is right. So why are you punishing me? So they are finding out that even the leaders should be punished. In Kali Yuga, so crazy. The leaders have to be punished. And many leaders are wrong also. So nobody has value in authority. So there is no meaning to punishment given by persons who are in power. Because they themselves require punishment. It's totally confusing. But anyway, what they do to the common masses is, this person Skinner, great psychologist, behavioral psychologist. did some very interesting study. He put rats inside a cage and had a small button-like thing. They will tap the button. Then they'll keep tapping, 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 nothing will happen. Keep tapping, tapping, nothing happen. Keep tapping, and suddenly some food will fall. Then they will associate the tapping with the food falling. Then they will tap again, again, no food will fall. After some time, food will fall. Let's say he studied the conditioning of the rat. He said, well, if you simply put food once in a while, they'll keep on tapping. If you put regularly food, after so many taps, food, they'll keep tapping, in a, expecting, and they'll tap more enthusiastically. Because, you know, after 20 taps, food will come. So, 20 taps, food will come. They'll do more consistently. If you give variously food, they'll tap once in a while, times in a while, vigorously keep tapping, 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 waiting for the food to come. Somehow or the other, you can make them tap for the sake of food. So he studied that in various different conditions. And he called that positive reward, positive, what do you call, replacement. You, instead of punishing the fellow, for good behavior, you give something good to him. Anything pleasant you give to the person, he will continue that behavior. And when he is not doing something good, you give him something unpleasant. Or you give less reward. You did like this, I gave you increment 10%. It did not do very well. 5% only increment. Oh, then he will repeat that hard work so that he will get 10% increment. 10% increment, I'm sorry. Like this, he studied all these different things. And he said, reward and punishment. These two things. Human beings can be conditioned by them. Human beings can be conditioned. You can give reward, you can give punishment, and in this way you can condition people. This is how this factory line of working is. With his research in education and in factories, they found that if you give a person piece work, for every piece you produce, I'll give you money. He will perform better. He will work extra hours because he's getting money for every piece. And he feels that I produced that piece and that earned me money. I am the doer. He possesses it. Possesses it. And people think that job, work, everything is very important. They go. But actually speaking, what is happening is they are getting conditioned by the managers or the owners of the factory in such a way that that person will produce more. And he is getting rewarded so that he will produce more. And the theory is that because you reward and don't punish, there is something positive happening. But in the Bhagavatam and the scriptures, there is punishment specifically mentioned. Somebody gets punished if he disobeys God's laws consistently. And punishment is required or not? Yes, punishment is required. Then only people change deeply internally. They will change and they will understand God's laws and they will perform according to those laws. You see, this is what is very important to know. We must know that what we do in the modern world in terms of punishment and reward is okay temporarily for a small purpose. But in the long run, that is, in true benefit for the conditioned soul, it's not very useful, because people should be educated about what is, who is God, what are the laws of God, and why following the laws of God is beneficial to you, how it really helps you. When all this education is there, people automatically follow. When they have no education and they don't know about God, they live in a godless society, then they adopt all these means by, you know, that research, this scholar, this psychology professor, he said that they study human nature, all these things. But Prabhupada said that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody's behavior will change. This is an amazing prescription. B.F. Skinner, if he was alive, he should be learning this. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna. And he proved it. He went to the worst place in the world, New York, and to the worst people in New York. He taught them Hare Krishna. He taught them Krishna consciousness. He practiced, showed it to them. And he changed their behavior. Forever he changed their behavior. And they became very civilized, amazing devotees. So the potency for completely changing a person's behavior from inside out is there in the scripture. So there is no punishment for persons who, you know, are devotees of the Lord and they make a mistake. There is only punishment for a person who is not a devotee of the Lord and doesn't follow God's laws. That's why Krishna is saying, if my devotee commits a mistake, he is not to be punished. You should be thought of as a devotee only. Apichat sudaracharo bachate mam ananya bhak sadhureva samantavyaha samyak vyavasito hi saha kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvachantim nigachati konteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashyati. Declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotee will never perish. Doesn't matter even if he has made a horrible mistake. Why? There is no question of punishing him. Because he is already fixed in the truth. He will very soon correct himself. The whole process is so powerful, bhakti yoga, that he will correct himself. Bhakti is so powerful. Even if there is an accidental error, it should not be considered to be worth punishing. Because the person is already situated in consciousness of Krishna. This is amazing. Very good to study this. All these great scientists are doing experiments on how to change the behavior of a person. Why a person is a criminal? Why does he behave in a particular way? But all these things are explained by Krishna very clearly. He says, Mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Only a person who surrenders to me can be free from maya. Otherwise, he will always be operating on the basis of the conditioning he receives from maya. Nibadnanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. He becomes conditioned by the modes sattva rajas tama iti guna prakriti sambhavaha. And that no Skinner or anybody else or Freud or anybody can change. That behavior which is coming because of his material tendency and desire, and due to which reason he is japatiya maya dhare, caught hold of by material energy, cannot be released by simply reward and punishment. That is a foundational conditioning. So the Krishna conscious process releases you from that foundational conditioning and changes your behavior from inside out. You come to know you are a spiritual person. And then everything else is subsidiary. So these type of reward and punishment that is mentioned, positive replacement and punishment and negative this thing and all that great study that they did, they don't understand basically because they do the study without understanding God consciousness, without reading Bhagavad Gita. But if you read Bhagavad Gita, you get to know how a person is conditioned, why he is conditioned. And foundational cure is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Having said that, you will see that Kali, whom Parikshit is trying to punish, is saying that nobody can leave me. If I see anybody doing anything wrong against Dharma, I'll finish him, whoever it may be, even if he's a demigod, I will subject him to my punishment. That is my duty as a king. He says that, Rajnya paro rajnya hi paramo dharma hai. This is my supreme duty. So I will do that. It is amazing to know that Kali, when he is faced by Parikshit Maharaj, such a powerful person, surrenders to Parikshit Maharaj. surrenders to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj concessionally gives him places. This is something like what we discussed with Skinner did. Okay, I won't punish you, although you have done this. Since you surrendered to me and said that I am the citizen of your, under you, and you are, you know, you are the king, you should protect me. And you are coming under my protection, therefore I give you restricted operation. You'll only stay where there are four regulative principles are not being followed in gold, etc., etc. Still, he punished him in a different way. Positively, he gave him a place to stay. Don't roam around here and there and cut and break bulls' legs and cows' legs and all that. So now he cannot do. We stay here, 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 where there is already sinful activity going on. That is your place. He confined him to one place. In one sense, you can say some sort of a positive, you know, appeasing to him. So, he punished Kali in a different way, in a very dynamically proactive way, and kept him at bay. Okay, you perform your role, but at the same time you are under control. So, Parikshit Maharaj was able to control Kali. No leader in modern times would ever dare do that, can do that. Impossible to do that. Because they are all agents of Kali. When you are agent of Kali, you cannot be a leader. Where will you lead people? To Kali. Because you are agent of Kali. So what leader are you? You are Kali's leader. No use. So leader means goes against Kali. That only one person has done it. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Leading people against the effects of Kali and against Kali. In fact, you can say he is the only leader available in modern times. Still leading people. If you define leadership as per Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavat, as per Parikshit Maharaj, only a person who can take you away from the influence of Kali, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam, who can do for you, only he can be a leader, because he is leading you back to Godhead, back to the right place where you belong. Where do you lead people if you are a leader? If you lead them to intoxication, sex, gambling, slaughterhouses, everything, you are just leading them to the Kali's trap again. What type of leadership is it? Where do you lead people? So the example of Parikshit Maharaj is very, very important for us to know. And don't think this situation doesn't exist now. It exists even now. That is why Prabhupada has told us to do things in a particular way that you can bypass the effect of Kali. And under leadership of Prabhupada, Kali will not affect you. This is what Yamaraj told the Yamadutas. That is not your domain. Don't go there. They are all people who chant the holy name, but run away from them. Like I told you, the Skanda Purana, there is a quote that says that Yamadutas flee screaming like dry leaves swirling around in the breeze and being shot off. When they see a Vaishnava with Tilak and Kantimala and chanting the name of the Lord, they flee. It's the opposite effect. So, Prabhupada's legacy, if we simply keep to it, no conditioning of this sort, behavior will change from inside out, water speed to just external patchwork change in behavior. You leave one conditioning and get conditioned by something else. So you conquer one thing after a lot of hard work and then you get conditioned some other way. You see. Some people stop smoking. They're chain smokers. They got only half a lung or they got some other problem, everything. They'll stop smoking. And what happens to them? They start eating. They start eating and become obese. Their desire to indulge has to come out in some other way. It will come out in some other way. In other words, the conditioning, one conditioning you leave and catch hold of another one. Because your foundational conditioning is lost, not lost yet. You are still conditioned by the three modes. So that is given up. Therefore, what the prescription is, we don't simply blindly punish somebody. First, you understand what is the problem. Why does he behave like that? Without understanding properly, you punish him, your punishment is a waste and that person suffers. So modern leaders don't understand fully what is the reason that somebody is in a particular situation. That is because they don't have education of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavat and no real leader leading them. It's a very big difference. We are all so fortunate that we can understand Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's words, and by chanting Hare Krishna and rendering some service, Krishna is revealed more and more. The more we read, the more we understand. We can understand such a valuable information. See. So Parikshit Maharaj is instituting that forcefully. Sometimes we have to forcefully institute the right thing, irrespective of what people feel, think socially and all that, because it is good for them and they don't understand it. So Parikshit Maharaj is telling Kali, get away. I will finish anybody who goes against Dharma. I don't care. I become violent against that person. That is why violence is necessary. This violence is proper. It's not some stupid, unthinking violence. This violence is necessary to protect people. See? That's why people sometimes pass comment that the Bhagavad Gita is in a, you know, battlefield setting. It's violence. So if it's violence and all that, why did Mahatma Gandhi, who stood for non-violence, read and speak the Bhagavad Gita? Why did he do it? Why great, great personalities are talking about the Bhagavad Gita? That is a very simplistic, superficial, you know, gleaning of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is very clearly telling that if you break the law of God, you must be punished. And everybody else should watch it. Jagannath Baladev Subhadramayiki. Others should watch it and understand that I should not break the law of God. I should be following the laws of God. That is why demons are publicly attacked by Krishna and killed. Send a message. What is the definition for violence is different in Krishna consciousness. One who stops a person from pursuing Krishna consciousness is violent. Violence on the soul, violence on the pursuit of Krishna consciousness talk, that is called violence. It's actually a very sophisticated dictionary meaning. Only in Bhagavad Gita dictionary you will see that. Violence does not mean because he hit me, I hit him. I hit him stronger than him, and you know, don't be violent. It's a very different level. You need to sometimes institute dharma by opting for violence, because that person will understand nothing else. Sama bena dana danda. Sama beda dana danda. Finally, danda. That's the type of understanding you have. You are a person who is so low class that you need this. You don't understand. Not very civilized. Why is violence necessitated? Because a person is so low class, you speak to him in a cultured way, speak to him in a, you know, way that will try to solve this thing. None of these things he hears. Then you have to give him a whack. Because other people will get spoiled. So this is allowed. So punishment should be there. And that is only administered to those people who are extreme cases of persons who don't follow law of God. But in the modern world, you see those people who are punished as criminals, put into the jails, they come out again and commit severe crime. Greater and greater crime they commit. Because the punishment doesn't change them. Kunjara Sauchavat. And it's a great dilemma for many of them. And they come up with all this theory, reward him, do that, do this. Behavior doesn't change. So it's an unsolved problem. How to change people who are so criminally minded? And the more and more we are producing terrorists, criminals, people who break law, and they don't feel any bad thing about it. Psychopaths who do something wrong and they feel, so what? They don't feel anything about it. Their subtle body is screwed up. Something deeply wrong. There are people who are very violent. They kill children. They do all sorts of things and they feel very cool. They have no emotions about it at all. Totally lost. In society, people don't know how to deal with all these people. What is the use of punishing such a person? He doesn't feel the punishment. He'll come out again and again, do the same thing. All these things can be solved by chanting Hare Krishna. Foundationally changing your conditioning. This is amazing. The path given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes care of all sorts of criminals, all types of mental disorders, all types of people having various types of phobias, everything it takes care of. Simply chant the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I am sure that in the future there will be a government run by devotees who will forcefully institute this. Fast on Ekadashi, otherwise you'll be punished. Chant Hare Krishna, otherwise you'll be punished. It's a very good punishment, right? Eat your prasadam, otherwise you'll be punished. Because it's good for you. It's like that. It's like telling you, eat the sweet, otherwise I'll punish you. Oh, thank you. Because you're given chanting of the holy name and it takes you back to Godhead. And you're an idiot fool who doesn't know that. Therefore, you should be wrapped and put for good, for your good. Sometimes you see the mom just getting angry with the child who's spitting the food out. You feed, spit it out. Gets afraid and eats. Well, it's good that she's punishing him. I'll punish you if you don't eat. So I'm sure the Krishna conscious movement soon will have a government. So if you don't fast for Ekadashi, you'll be punished like this. You have to pay extra taxes. It's called Ekadashi tax. Those who are not following Ekadashi, because the Muslims did that to us. And the Muslims' rule was there. They had all sorts of taxes against the Hindus. All sorts of religious taxes. So the opposite also will come. This is not a religious tax. You have to be spiritually oriented. You're a human being, you fool. If you're not, you'll be taxed. You have to pay more money. For all regulative principles that you want to make, you'll be taxed. Extra. Like that. Like that the government has luxury tax. Those people who smoke have to pay tax in some places. Those people who drink alcohol extra pay tax. Now they have cess. Luxury cess. And they have, because they want to keep the India clean, Swachh Bharat, they have extra tax on everybody. This is what the government should do. It's good. If you're a meat eater, tax. If you're a smoker, tax. Don't follow Ekadashi, tax. Don't chant Hare Krishna, tax. It'll be exciting actually for devotees. I'm sure that type of a government is coming. And everybody will happily follow. And they'll become free. They'll have lot of income because they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't do all these things. And they will not be taxed. You can have luxury. You can enjoy, go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, special. But those people who smoke, they'll have less money. Those people who drink, will have less money. There should be a governance like that. You see, so that's what Parikshit is doing. He told him, okay, this is the type of behavior you have. This is what you have done. You stay in the brothel. You stay where this, all these four regulative principles, so stay there only. Don't come out. And you act on those people. Those people who are not following this, give them your influence. So this is very interesting. This is what is governance. How to put rules and laws in such a way that people become Krishna conscious. That is required. According to Sama Veda Dhara Danda. So Parikshit Maharaj is talking about that. He's telling that is my topmost duty and all leaders to see to it that their wards, dependents will be able to progress in Krishna consciousness. What we need to do for that, even if he needs to be punished, it should be done. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki.